Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to say good morning to you, and we just ask the Holy Spirit's come down and work in our heart this morning through your word and through your power to enable us to decode your message and have it and grace in our heart. Thank you, God. We pray all this in Jesus' name. this morning passage is from the book of John, chapter 2. This is the first miracle that Jesus performed in his public ministry or ever since his life as a man on earth. Chapter 2. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus and his disciple were invited to the wedding. When the wine went out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what do you have to do with us? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servant, "Whatever he said to you, do it." Now there were six stone of water pots set there for the Jewish custom of purifications, containing 20 or 30 gallons each. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pot with water." So they filled them up up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the head waiter." And so they took it to the hint. When the head waiter tasted the water, which has become wine, and they did not know where it came from, but the servant who has drawn the water knew, the head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, "Every man serve the good wine first, and when the people have drunk freely, and he served the poor wine, but you have kept the good wine until now." This beginning of his sign Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifest his glory, and his disciple believe in him. So this is the first miracle that Jesus ever performed in his life and recorded in the Bible. And a couple points that, you know, quickly draw from this this story. Quite often people, when they look at this passage, one thing that really just stand out to this passage is how he addressed his mother. A lot of time people say, "Well, how come Jesus is so rude and calling her mother just woman? In verse 4, say Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does it have to do with this? My hour has not come." And the second question people quite often ask is, how come, you know, Jesus in 1 minute before, you know, the mother do anything, he was telling Mary that, you know, it's not the time yet. But, you know, couple minutes later, it's time for his actions. So these are the two most likely questions when you look at this passage people will ask. And let me deal with the later one first. It's talking about, I believe, like this message, a lot of time we're talking about timing and obedience to God. It seems that, you know, one minute before or a few minutes before, it's not timing. But Jesus wait until the time come. And for that, I would like to draw you to another passage, which is in Old Testament, which is 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 8. Here, basically, the background, what happened is the background of a battle that Saul was called to. Saul was anointed as a king by Samuel. God called him to be the king over Israel, the first king over Israel. And he, at the verge of going into a battle, and there's an appointed time in verse 8. Now he waited 7 days according to the anointed time set by Samuel. And Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattering from him. So he is facing a situation where that people coming together, they're ready for the war. But the appointed time that Samuel has set for the war to start, before they go into battlefield, always they make sacrifice to God, commit the battle to God, and ask God to be their host to fight the battle, to win the battle. So here at the time that where Saul is really nervous, people start scattering. Later on, the passage talks about people start scattering, leaving the place and feel uncomfortable. And so what he did is he took the action. Instead of waiting for Samuel to come to make the sacrifice, he made the sacrifice himself. Ultimately, they won the war. But then, if you look at the later on, the passage later on the chapter 14, verse 13, Samuel said to Saul, "You have acted foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of God, the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel is forever." He commanded you. And from that point onward, the position that God have given Saul has been removed from him, been taken away by the Lord, simply because he has not obeyed to God's commandment in terms of the timing. And today, this morning, I want to emphasize a lot of time is the timing. We might have calling to do certain things, or we wait, we are sure, certain thing to be done, and this is how I heard from God to do certain things. But also the other thing, on top of being obedient and act out of obedience, timing is also very important. A lot of time, we might see situations like Saul, is that everything seems to be, falling apart. Is it the time to act? And the question is not just hearing from God what to do, but it also hearing from God when to do it. And obviously, that's a contrast to the first miracle that Jesus has. He waited. He know that time is not yet. So he mentioned the time has not come yet. And he wait until the moment that God have told him this is time to do it. And he start performing the first miracle. And I believe that talk about obedience, not just doing it, but also when to do it. And then the question I have to ask myself is, how do I know? And it fall back to the question is your relationship with God. If you, by not looking at just the circumstances, a lot of time we say that when we pray, we do experiencing God, talk about, having that relationship with God, and we pray and we see whether, prayer being answered, and we look at different things. We look at the circumstances. We look at, how God answered it. What's the scripture saying? All these are beautiful. At the end of the day, is you hear from God as well as to when to act. And so maybe, you are in a time that are transitions or waiting a moment. And I just want to encourage you, God do speak and wait for the right timing and not just simply rely on the circumstances. The second thing that I mentioned early on that the passage, about this passage, very peculiar is that when Jesus addressed his mother as woman, couple views on this passage. One is that it's quite common to call some of the literature say it's quite common to call woman that is, it's not rude. It's just a cultural thing. The other part that if you look at later on in the book of John, it's before Jesus died. I won't take you through the message, but later on in the passage, before the crucifix, Jesus at the cross, and he looked at the disciple, and particularly, most likely, John is a beloved disciple. He looked at it, this is your mother. And if you look at the scripture, it says, woman, this is your son. Couple of things that I draw from my devotions of this passage is that it's about this relationship Jesus have with people, with his family. If we, in different passage in the book of Gospel, when the book of Matthew is saying that, if you love your mother or your father more than I, I'm paraphrasing it, basically you cut it out, saying it's a comparison, you should hate your mother, and there's some part in Matthew chapter 10 talk about you should hate your parents and hate your family, but in here it's not talking about hate, it's a comparison, a degree. When you compare to loving God, that's the degree it is. He's not asking you to depart from your family or abandon your family, but rather it's like the degree of love that you have towards God is to that love and hate contrast. So he's not actually asking us to disband the family. So the passage here, a lot of time we were saying when he called the mother woman, he does not mean that he wants to cut off that relationship or anything like that. But rather, I see that as a transition of also in our personal walk with God. A lot of time we talk about we being too self-centered. Everything we come, we pray, we, of course, the first thing we will ask for things for ourselves, for our family, and all this, a very self-centered prayer. And this is, we focus on self, even though we are talking to God and praying to God. But God wants us to look at the bigger picture, is a look at Him rather than having that self-centeredness. So He say, abandon everything and follow me. Doesn't mean that you lose everything. You actually end up, if you walk with God not long enough, you know that you end up getting more than what you have given up. And he's saying that it's not abandoning your relationship with your family, but rather your eyes should be upon God and your focus should be more God-centered. And towards the, you know, the almost come to the finale, come to the cross where he rebuilt the relationship, talking about among brother and sister, this is a family relationship. So when he's addressing, even when he was addressing to his mother at the end of the gospel, he's talking about woman, this is your son. It talk about he's reestablished that relationship. And that relationship is no longer so much of self-centeredness, but rather is more agape, more unconditional. Regardless what relationship you have in blood relationship, or you know you're related by blood or not, but having that family relationship we establish at the end when he comes to the end of his journey on earth. So when I look at this passage, you know, a lot of time, even though it's being addressed as woman, but to a different level, it is that he is standing in the shoes of living out the commandment of God. He, to him, this is not because he's not obeying the commandment of his mom. It's not because the mom asks him to do certain thing, but he's waiting for the God to tell him to do the right timing. So the relationship here, the mother and son relationship, does not come into play into this first miracle. And I think a couple points to draw from this morning is that the timing, we talk about obedience. Even people talk about even circumstances, things might be, you know, falling apart, like in the book of Samuel, things might be, you're at the crunch time, pressure, forcing you to act. Or, you know, there might be relationship, your family or, you know, things that is putting you, hustle you to take the step forward. But he is that, be still and know I am God. And knowing that, you know, I'm there to be there with you. And just have to wait for that timing. And the other point that I want to emphasize this morning is also, is drawing us away from that self-centeredness, looking towards God. And from that, we see a bigger picture of that love being manifest. And so these are the two points that I want to share with you this morning. Jisung will come to lead the worship.
You're the reason that I see.
Conversation with God. I think this message this morning, I want to read another passage that is from the book of Samuel. We talk about obedience. It says here that, "Has the Lord as much delight in burnt offering and sacrifice as in obedient the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, to heal than the fat of rams. For rebellion is the sin of divinations, and insubordination is that in iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being the king." As we sing the song this morning, we talk about, you know, every word that God that put in our heart. I think it's our journey to is that 100% obedient to God. Not just, you know, doing the thing He told us to, but also when to do it, what to do, every moment, every minute. And He demands that 100%. Sometimes it seems a lot. Sometimes it seems that we lost ourselves. But I think the warning this morning from the book of Samuel is that any disobedience is a sin, and you will depart us from God. Even the result might be okay, the whole event, God bless it. But at the end of the day, it's that relationship that you have with God, and He demands that 100% obedience. I mean, a lot of time, I'm really thankful that we are in New Testament time, because time comes to after time, we go before God and we can confess to God that, you know, time, God, that we did not obey, and we sincerely ask for His forgiveness, and He help us to really turn away from it. So let's spend a bit more time between you and God about any area in your life that you felt that you heard from God, but you don't want to obey it.
Thank you.
Father God, we know that there's many areas of our life we still yet to surrender to you. Just we ask that, Lord, that you reveal to us all this little bit of self-centeredness here and there that we're still holding on to. Help us to let them go. There may be relationship that we have. There may be things that we don't want to let go. God, just help us to release all to you and looking at the bigger pictures and looking you directly. Okay, let's turn to today's prayer focus. Let's continue to pray for the community, the people who are suffer from illness and tumor. So they are on the list. Let's pray for them. That's the next page. People who are suffering illness, and also pray for the members' families who are not safe yet, and praying that, you know, during this time of trial time or difficult time, they will come to meet God face to face. God is around them, but they just have their eyes open. So let's pray for Krista, aunt, Rachel's uncles, Bonnie's grandfather, and also Vivian's grandfather. And also pray for those who are ill. Pastor Sam's mentor, and also Paul and Joy's baby, Benji, about the allergy that he has. Just pray for God's healing over both of them. People are also looking for work. Let's pray for John, Sujin, Katerina, Pearl, Juhi, and Krista. Pray that, you know, God will provide them with a job in the near future. And for those that, you know, may be at work and may be facing, you know, potential situations that may be losing employment, let's keep them in prayer. Pray that God's peace is with them, and they know that they can rely on God. Let's turn to today's prayer focus on the missions. Let's pray for China, SP Beijing, the Chang family, Matt and Nate's parents, the Basarabas family, Leanne, and the Chichiha kids. Let's pray for the church that is in China, whether it's underground or you know, official church. Let's pray that God really manifests. It doesn't matter that the church is a building or not, but really it's the people attending that they do meet with God. Thank you. also, let's pray for SP staff. Pastor Sam is not feeling well. He had migraine. Really pray for healing. That he has been suffering that for from time to time. So really pray for complete healing for him. And Pastor Eugene and Pastor Carol and Elijah are in Sydney. So let's also lift them up in prayer too. Pray for Journey Mercy and a good time in Sydney. And also the rest of the SP staff team. Also pray for the elder board and the mission committees as well. Pray that every decision they make, it will be from God, and also they will do it on God's timing. Give thanks to God for last Sunday. We have a joint service with Faye Bay and Korean Church. Let's continue to lift them up. They are our related ministry and our mother church. So let's continue to lift them up and ask God to continue to strengthen them and continue to add numbers to them, and they become a stronger church that send, you know, in Hong Kong to shine for God. Let's pray for those house church gathering tonight, LKF, Old Peak, Harbourside, Seymour, and Star Street. Let's pray for a stronger bonding during this season of time. Maybe there are new people coming in. Let's just pray for more relationship being built on and love being manifest in each of the house church. Jesus, we just want to give thanks to you for the things that you've done for us. From the very beginning, from your first miracle, you show us obedience. And this is actually the greatest exercise and things that we need to learn and do. And this is also where the fall of man happened, is when we disobeyed. Father God, we just ask for your forgiveness. There's an area that's in our life that we're not ready to give up, not ready to listen to you. I just ask that, God, you help us to be more in love with you, to be able to let go of things that is holding us back from you, to help us and to learn to obey you. I just invite the Holy Spirit to empower my brother and sister for their day of work. Continue to shine light over them, and they know that, you know, every step they take, you're walking with them alongside. Thank you. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good day.